Blog Talk Radio.
Mustard seed faith is not little faith. Mustard seed faith is not little faith. This is yet another one of the many misquoted and misinterpreted scriptures in the Bible. By now, most people have heard and know that a mustard seed is extremely small but grows into a huge bush. Matthew 13 gives us an incredible revelation on what the Lord was really trying to teach the disciples. Today, on Pathways of Truth, mustard seed faith is not little faith. Good morning. Once again, welcome to Pathways to Truth Radio. I'm your host, Nick Danger. Joining me on the wheels is still Brother Frank Billions. What an awesome sunny day in the Carolinas, Brother Frank.
Man, I hear the excitement in your voice, man. I hear the excitement in your voice. Welcome to the show, everybody. Hey, man, I'm excited to be here again this morning, man, breaking down this mustard seed.
Man, this is we've been trying to get this show in for over a month. So I am so thankful that the Holy Spirit finally saw fit to allow us to get the mustard seed revelation off of our chest. I want to say that the scriptures. There's two in particular that I wanted to talk about, Brother Frank, and then I want to talk about, a little later in the show, I want to talk about how the traditions of men has contaminated the faith of the elect, okay? But we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to get ahead of myself because I'm so excited this morning. Okay, so Jesus is talking to his disciples as the usual, through a series of parables in Matthew's, and we've come to know that parables that Jesus created parables for non-believers. Okay, these are the stories have significant impact on truth and lead people to the revelation of who God really is through the designs of creation. This is the amazing thing, how God takes the designs of creation, the things he made, to try to teach people about who he really is, Brother Frank.
Yeah.
See, in doing so, there's nobody that can deny his power. This is the whole point. So he'll say, look, take a look at the mustard seed, or consider the ant. Who can say they haven't ever seen an ant? Who has never sit in their backyard, and particularly down south, now I don't know about up north, but down south, ants can build these mounds out of red clay in a matter of hours.
Yeah.
And then you can take a hose and wash them away and wake up in the morning and it'll be three times bigger than it was the day before. So when he says consider the ant, he's talking about the work ethic and the teamwork. And the focus, okay, mustard seed faith. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. When I just got finished saying that parables is for unbelievers or non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing that Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, or verily I say to you, if you have faith, listen closely, as a mustard seed, not like a mustard seed. I'm going to go to that a little bit later. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, that's Matthew. Okay. Listen closely. This is yet another one of the many misquoted and misinterpreted scriptures. We talked about this in the opening. So then he goes on to say, this is in Matthew 13. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. You got to slow down and read God's word.
Yeah.
In one scripture, he says, as a mustard seed. And another scripture, mm-hmm. he says, like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Okay, I'm going to say this, Brother Frank. I'm going to let you come in. I know you're chomping at the bit. Okay, in this parable, Jesus was not teaching disciples to have little faith. On the contrary, he was exhorting them to have great faith. He was telling them that their faith should be great like the tree, not the seed. He was telling them that their faith should be great like the tree, not the seed. See, for generations, the Christians have focused on the seed, Brother Frank, and not the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Christ is telling them the end result
mm-hmm.
of your faith should look like this. And the beginning of your faith looks like this. Oh, my goodness. The beginning of your faith looks like this seed, but the end of your faith should look like this tree. Okay, go ahead, man. I know you're ready now. I'm proud to tell you, Ali-oop, you can't miss this dump.
Man, that is the revelation of the mustard seed faith. So throughout this show, we're going to have to try to give people some examples of how to build up your mustard seed faith into this big tree. So
yeah.
This is a spiritual believer's walk of faith when you talk about mustard seed. And mm-hmm. like you said, man, the church has focused so much on little faith. Okay, and that little seed. And it kept the whole religious system stuck in little faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, they stuck in the mustard seed, in the mustard seed faith. They stuck in that little faith. Well, Christ, I wanted to know if Christ was telling these guys, O thou of little faith, I wanted to know about the big faith that Christ had.
Yes.
See, Christ had big faith. He didn't have little faith. He had big faith. So big faith was talking to little faith.
Yes.
So big faith means you take a lot. Little faith means you take a little. You just barely scratching the surface of it. Big faith means that there's a lot available to you, but you're not taking a lot of it. It's a whole storage house filled with stuff, but you just come in and just take one little thing instead of grabbing as much of it as you can and taking it with you, because it doesn't make any difference how much of this that you take. He's gonna replenish himself, but I'm not gonna go off into that. But let me say this, man. Mustard seed faith means you are strong in faith. See, the mustard seed faith is so strong that he know his end result going to be this tree.
Mm.
Okay.
That's
okay.
It?
That, I mean, he, Listen, he know, man, as soon as he hits this ground, he's at home, man. He going to dig in, and he know what's getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's in his DNA.
Yes.
The mustard seed has the tree in his DNA.
Yes.
The tree is the parent. And the seed is coming from the parent. So he has that big tree in his face already, man. It's in his DNA. So what I had to do, man, I had to break down mustard seed faith so I can get understanding. Because in all of our getting, we got to get understanding. That's the problem with us, Nick. The church stay where they are because they don't get understanding.
Yes.
In order to get understanding, man, you got to meditate on God's word. So I meditated on faith and mustard seed faith, and by the help of the Holy Ghost, what it showed me was that faith is having confidence in the word of God to do the impossible. Okay. It is the quality of faith or confidence that you have in God and God's word. The reason why people are more confident in doing things the world's way is because they are not confident that God's word will work in their life.
Okay.
The people are not confident, Nick, that
right.
reading and studying and meditating God's word and believing God's word that it's going to perform what it says it's going to perform in their life. They are more confident in the world's way of doing things than the kingdom way of doing things, God's word way of doing things.
Yes.
So they stay in little faith. They stay in little faith because little faith always have a mixture of belief and doubt.
Yeah.
So, but any doubt cancels it out.
Yes.
So your faith, they faith keep failing them, man. Their faith keeps failing them because doubt come in and cancels it out. See, that, look, with the mustard seed, listen, he has no doubt that he's going to become that big tree, man.
No doubt about it.
Okay. Okay. You see, Nick, what I realize is that the people do not have examples of anyone doing things God's way only. Trusting what the Holy Spirit is telling them to do, and they're doing it. But Big Brother Malachi said that that he might seek a godly seed. And what Big Brother Malachi was saying is that which is a seed of righteousness and not money, because you can't sow money, because money is not a seed. So instead of thinking about, I'm giving you an example of the mustard seed faith. Instead of thinking about how you can borrow money from someone to pay off your debt, think about how you can capture the money you are earning every day to pay off your debt.
Yeah.
See, people are spending more time trying to think about and meditate on who they can borrow money from to help them with their debt, instead of spending their time on how to figure out how to use the money that they are earning every day to pay off their own debt. That's where the faith come in at. See, borrowing is the world's way. Capturing is the kingdom way. But we're too impatient, and we stay in little faith because we don't believe that we could do it. See, a person don't believe that they can save $400 a month for 36 months to buy them a car in cash, but they believe that they can pay $400 a month for 7 years if they have a car payment. There is no faith in thinking about how you can come up with a sad enough story for you to ask someone to borrow money to get your car repaired. Mustard seed faith is believing that I can save $50 every time I get paid from now on till I retire. So I go out and open up a bank account tomorrow morning, Monday morning, with my $50, because I believe that I have enough faith that I can save $50 from now on every time I get paid until I retire. That's the kind of mustard seed faith I'm talking about.
Yeah. That's good. I think that there's the revelation, the revelation that I got from my fellowship with the Holy Spirit on this is that He showed me that all believers, this is coming from the throne room of grace, that all believers should be as a seed, which is the faith to be a tree.
Yeah.
The average mustard seed is 1 millimeter wide. That's almost, you can't even hardly see that with the naked eye. Yet that one seed can grow to be a tree 20 feet tall and 20 feet wide. That's 400 square feet. That's the average size of a garage, just so you know. A two-car garage is about 400 square feet. So God is saying to His sons in the faith, because of your faith, I know you are listening. In order to hear, that's the autonomic response. Okay, you have to be listening, which is a voluntary response. Well, what I'm saying is that you hear stuff all the time that you're not listening to.
Yes.
You might be sitting at home watching TV and you hear a siren go off as there's an ambulance or whatever, cheap police car is going down the block. But you're actually listening to your wife tell you how much she loves you and why you're sitting there over dinner. So one is an autonomic response and one is a voluntary response. Voluntary response means you choose to do it. It is your will. So listen to what he's saying. Even in the midst of the storms of life, you can hear him because you're listening for him. So the believer makes the conscious decision to seek after the intimate fellowship with the Father. That's what faith really in its simplicity is all about. Your will to do it versus the distractions of life. You just got finished giving us several examples about choices that we make.
Yeah.
Do I go into debt for 20 years or 30 years, or do I go into debt for this thing, or do I choose to save? Do I leave these? If I can't afford it, do I walk away? Or like you just said, do I craft in my mind a sad enough story where I can borrow the money from somebody even though I know I can't afford it? And then I go into all kind of internal stress and broken relationships because I can't pay back the person that I borrowed the money from, and therefore I can never really enjoy the thing that I thought I desired. so much of what we deal with on a day-to-day basis as it relates to faith, Brother Frank, is not understanding the currency.
Right.
You talk a lot about money because of your background in finances, but the currency in the kingdom of God is faith. It's not money.
That's right.
The Bible says that in the parable of the sower, that do you not know that faith is the seed that he's talking about and not money.
That's it, man. See, man, I was thinking about this, man. Mustard seed faith is my wife and I having to pay $1,500 in federal and state taxes, and I print out the 2015 form 1040V and the 2015 form D400V, the payment vouchers, and I write the checks totaling $1,500, and my wife and I continue on with our life instead of setting up a payment plan for $41.67 for the next 36 months. There is no faith in setting up a payment plan to pay taxes. Okay. Faith and unbelief both come by what you are hearing or giving your attention to. Give some attention to stop making payments. Folks don't give attention to not making payments. With mustard seed faith, you're never going to grow into this tree that we're talking about if you don't pay attention and give attention to your faith. The kingdom of God is the faith that we're talking about. You must choose to have faith come in your heart by hearing the word of God. It just don't naturally come. You got to choose it. See, faith tells me that it is better for my wife and I to go ahead and pay the $1,500 now and continue life as normal because we have $1,500. Look, folks have $1,500, but they don't want to give up their $1,500 because they think something else might happen. That's how the world system done trained all of y'all, thinking that something going to happen, so you set up the little payment plan because you feel more comfortable doing that. You don't feel comfortable with writing a check out to a total of $1,500 to pay your taxes. You feel more comfortable paying $41.67. Well, you're supposed to be feeling comfortable paying the $1,500. Look, so what if you only have $62 left to the next pay period? Good for you. The Holy Ghost just helped you with your unbelief. I know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Faith, mustard seed faith, man, is I tell my wife that, okay, we got to pay $1,500 in taxes, and tomorrow, you know, she goes and deposits $750 into my checking account, paying half of the taxes so we can go ahead and pay it. Look, that must have seemed fake because she don't even have to tell me. She just go and do it. Because if I get a refund for $1,500, I just go ahead and deposit $750 in her checking account. Okay. Come on, Nick. Most couples have the $1,500, but because of their worldly poverty, electronic benefit transfer system mentality, they set up a payment plan because most folks love to make payments. The church got folks making payments. That's the church mentality. They learned that from the church. Make the payment.
Wow.
Okay, let me pull that. Well, that's not big faith. That is not mustard seed faith, what you're doing. Big faith, mustard seed faith, is being confident in God's word and trusting and believing everything is going to be all right.
Well, that's good. That's good. Those, listen, the mindset of the individual as it relates to this faith issue comes in all different shapes and sizes. The the unbeliever or the non-believer, in order to exercise true faith, must understand and believe that God is with him.
Yeah.
And one of the fundamental mishaps that many Christians have is that they carry the relationships they have with other people into their relationship with God. They carry the relationships they have with other people into their relationship with God, and that's a big mistake. What am I saying? I'm saying there is no room in your closet for anyone or anything else but you and God. So don't drag your boss or your jacked up relationship with a coworker or one of the brothers and the sisters in your fraternity or sorority that have pissed you off. Don't drag them into your closet, because it's going to contaminate the fellowship that you have with God. Okay, so there's absolutely nothing wrong with being by yourself. See, when you walk in this faith walk, this next level in God, it leads to isolation. You must run to God versus running away from God. It is his expectation that we will change or morph into radical believers. So John 20 and 24 to 29 begs the question, can you believe when you cannot see? John 20, 24 to 29 says, can you believe when you cannot see? And this is where too many Christians break down. They use their eyes more than their ears. So we have reiterated time and time and time again on this radio program that faith comes by hearing, using your ears, and hearing is the ability to hear God. That comes from hearing the word of God. So when faced with hardships and trials and tribulations, all kind of difficult times, the believer must always ask this question, Brother Frank, Pathway to Truth Nation. What does God say about this situation in his word? He says, don't panic. So you talked about it a little while ago about trying to identify a way to move past fear into faith. You just said that that many believers or many Christians are nervous about making financial decisions or other decisions, health decisions. Should I go see my doctor? I've got a node on my breast, or I've got a lump in my gonad, but I'm afraid. That lump or that node might evolve into cancer or something that requires surgery, that might make the individual sick or require hospitalization, but they are afraid of the bill. So doubting, I want to get ahead of myself. Let me say these two things and I'll let you come in. An increase in faith is directly correlated to a decrease in your need for evidence in order to believe something. You know, what I'm saying is that your faith will increase as your need to have proof decreases.
Yeah.
So doubting is not evidence of disloyalty. Doubting leads to questions, which leads to answers, which leads to Christ. Okay. Last thing. So we must leave the place of doubt before we can move to the place of belief. We must leave the place of doubt before we can move to the place of belief. And that only comes, listen, when somebody can answer a question that you have that's really troubling you, it provides relief. When you were a child and you went to your mother or your father or whomever, and you had a troubling question, and your mom or dad or grandpa or somebody able to put your mind at ease, giving you an answer that released your fear. So we have to think about and be empowered by and meditate on God's word, for the guaranteed result is faith. Listen, this is guaranteed that if you stay in God's word, you will be a tree. That's it.
Man, that's
guaranteed
that
be a tree.
That sums it up, man. I use this illustration about the finances, the money and stuff, because that's where people are. They struggle on a day-to-day basis, and they don't know how to apply God's word and the faith in God's word to their daily lives. The only thing that I do when I'm meditating and study God's word is trying to figure out in my meditation, how can I apply these principles that the guys in the word of God apply to their life? How do I apply to my life? So how do I apply this mustard seed faith to my life? This illustration is about the principles, kingdom of God. See, you are the sower, so you have to sow God's word in your heart. God's words are seeds. And seed carry within itself the DNA of the parent. So the seeds of God's word comes from God. So what you're doing is sowing God in your heart. And if you sow God in your heart, it's going to produce godly principles. See, they have taught us that money is a seed. Money is not a seed. The word is the seed. The word produces the kingdom of God within me. That's why I continue to break up the fallow grounds of my heart. Okay. Excuse me. I have no idea how my heart yields a crop by itself, like the earth yields a crop by itself. All I know is if I aerate my heart real good, like I do my yard, if I break up the fallow ground of my yard, I can break up the fallow grounds of my heart the same way. And Jesus said to me that the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and go to sleep at night and rise by day, the seed should sprout and grow.
Yeah.
Okay. The same way I use the principles for my lawn is the same way I scatter God's word in my heart. I have no idea how the earth does it, but it does. Nick, I spill some grass seed and some fertilizer on my concrete driveway.
Yeah.
Left it there for days and nothing happened. Nick, not one blade of grass sprouted up from those seeds on the concrete. After several days, they were still laying there. Okay. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Nick, this is a revelation. Concrete hearts will not produce godly seed.
No.
Okay. God's word cannot penetrate concrete hearts.
No, it cannot.
Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. Knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. That's the formula. Okay, in all you're getting, you got to get understanding. You can't get to wisdom without getting understanding. Getting understanding means you are getting wiser when you get understanding. So mm-hmm. Jesus says that it is the believer's responsibility to speak to the mountain, because I believe Jesus, I can say to a mountain or a barrier, move here to there. Nothing is impossible to me because I am a believer and not a doubter.
Yeah. That whole concept of faith transitions into suffering.
Yes.
See, they are symbiotic. Faith and suffering are symbiotic. That means they are interconnected. They are, one breathes, the other one exhales. It's like your heart. The heartbeat has a rhythm. The rhythm of faith is rooted and grounded in suffering. What I'm saying is that faith, your faith is fueled, energized. It takes on life because of the suffering that's associated with it. Now, Brother Frank, this is a hard word to hear for many Christians, because the thing that we have most in common with our big brother Jesus, it's his suffering. Okay. And in the kingdom of God, suffering is natural. Listen to what I'm saying. It is the suffering that frees us from ourselves. It is this, because suffering connects us all to his covenant. Okay, the teaching goes that Christ is an entity of him in and of himself, that his crucifixion was an act that he endured alone. Okay, listen closely. Okay, Jesus carried the entire world with him as he walked up Villa Rosa on Golgotha's hill to be hung from a tree. Listen to what I'm saying. We've been teaching you all day that the tree is representative of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So what God did was take Jesus and hang him on faith. It was God that killed Jesus. Okay, what are you talking about, Brother Nick? This was premeditated murder.
Yeah.
This conversation happened in eternity. This did not catch God by surprise that he was going to be crucified. This was not an act that happened that surprised him.
Yeah.
He knew it. From the get-go, he knew it. Because he was told this in eternity.
Yes.
The revelation of his crucifixion, what I'm saying, is inextricably tied to suffering. That whole event that led to his demise in the natural realm. But he said the seed was planted. The seed grew into a great tree. And that the birds landed on its branches. The birds are symbolic of peace. The doves. Close your eyes and see a dove land on a branch. Did Jesus not say we are the branches? And he is the vine. You got to read God's word, people. This is not rocket science. But it requires intense study and meditation and opening yourself up to the fact, you know what, Brother Frank, we have been crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
See, y'all like to sing the gospel song, but y'all don't really want to walk the walk and talk the talk. See, the crucifixion for us is the ability to endure our childlike responses to the hard things of life, the inability to make hard decisions, to let certain people go, to punish our children, to say no to our adult kids when they try to remain in childlike state.
Yes.
To separate ourselves from people we know that don't mean us any good, to distance ourselves from relationships, to chase after people that God has removed from our lives to keep us safe. This is the suffering that happens, okay, that Paul talked about when he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Brother Frank, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to let you come in. Do you remember the name of the person who was fighting next to you in the trenches that spoke a word of life into you when you were ready to quit?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was that person that carried you when you were cramping up so bad that you couldn't walk. So that the coach would make the whole team run. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
He's that same brother who is still your comrade today after 30 years because of what you two suffered together.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mustard seed faith.
That's mustard seed faith. Yeah. We if you haven't caught on yet, we're talking about mustard seed faith. We're talking about big faith. We're not talking about little faith. We're talking about the big faith. We're talking about the tree type of faith.
Yeah, the tree, not the seed.
Yeah, not the seed. Okay. Here's another example of mustard seed faith. Hey. Okay. Doubters will work. Look, they Christians now. They will work two jobs to pay their debt instead of giving the credit cards, the cars, and the houses back. And being free.
Yeah.
Doubters will pay tithe money. It is not usually your faith or your unbelief, but your doubt that causes faith to fail.
Yeah.
See, because we looking at a small part of our faith, and we stand in, O thou of little faith, doubt is there. See, Christ, when he was speaking to the guys, he was speaking to doubt.
Yeah.
He has to get the doubt out. Look, Brother Nick, I do not need to increase my faith to do God's will. I just need pure faith. That means no mixture of doubt and unbelief.
Yes.
Okay. Let me try to give another example of this. Okay, Nick. We said knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. That's the formula. Okay. Nick, when you first started your job, you had to get knowledge on everything that was required of you.
Yes.
And once they kind of taught you and gave you the understanding of how to operate your job, you had the main thing that you were trying to do is to get understanding so you can perform it every day.
Yes.
So once you got the knowledge and you got the understanding, then look, you had the faith within yourself to go in and perform it every day. Once you got understanding, you became wisdom.
Yes.
So now the company have faith in you, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they do not doubt that whenever you go in there every day, man, every day you go in there, they know the job gonna get done.
Yeah.
Look, they know that you have knowledge and understanding of what you're doing, man. You wise at this now, man. You can train folks to do it, man.
Yeah.
Okay. It is not the quantity of faith you have, but the quality of faith you have in God and in God's word. See, a lot of time in our daily walk, being believers, we got to trust the Holy Ghost, man. You got to help me out with this now. I don't understand this. Help me to get some understanding from this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Ghost helps us to do things and to make sure that we're living our lives the kingdom way of doing things, heaven's way of doing things. So he gives us instructions and we follow by. He makes things easier for us. But that's because we trust the Holy Ghost. I was talking to Fuego the other day. There's some times that Fuego can, he's a professional mechanic, but sometimes you get in them shops, man, you got to ask the Holy Ghost, man, now you got to help me figure this out, man. And look, man, if he take the time and meditate and listen to what the Holy Ghost is saying to him, man, he'll figure out how to fix that car, man.
Yep. That cuts across all lines, Brother Frank. I don't want you to speed by this because this is an important point. Because a lot of people, the overwhelming majority of Christians, have never had one conversation with the Holy Spirit.
Oh man,
I'm not going to fly by this because this sounds like foolishness. What you're saying to the vast majority of people? What do you mean? I asked the Holy Spirit how to fix this lug nut. Why would he be concerned about that? I'm telling you, you can ask him. The Bible says you can ask him anything. But in order to do that, you have to be in relationship with him. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Listen, man. My job is like risk management or collateral for the government. Okay, I have to read all day, every day for 8 to 10 hours. All right, okay. Man, I need the Holy Ghost to help me to understand some of this stuff, man. Some of the stuff that I read, I have no idea what it's saying, man. Look, man, but by the help of the Holy Ghost, they have faith that I'm going to be able to perform what I do. And I have faith that the Holy Ghost is going to help me do it. Listen, without a doubt, nothing that they put in front of me, I'm not going to be able to accomplish it.
Right.
But I need the Holy Ghost to keep me in my right mind and keep my conscience right. See, I can't be at work in doubt, right, and my conscience is unclear about stuff. Because I don't spend my days and my time watching a lot of TV and listening to a lot of radio and music and stuff. I'm trying to listen and be in tune to the Holy Ghost so I can hear him. So anytime he talks to me, I can hear him. And I'm sensitive to his voice because it's small and still. It's a small, still voice, a calm voice. So I realized that, taught me. He said, Frank, by you having faith in me, that means that you got confidence in me. See, mustard seed faith is having confidence that what the Holy Ghost is sharing with you, look, is the truth and is going to perform. Okay, look, man, I was a deacon of Christ operating in the local church as a deacon, but the pastor didn't know I was a deacon of Christ. He thought I was his deacon.
Yeah.
Look, I wasn't his deacon. I was just operating in that office inside his church. So he didn't understand why I disagreed a lot. Listen. Oh, okay. Let me slow down. Wait a minute. Big Brother Nick, let me say this. Let me check that. Job taught me this simple formula, which has helped my mustard seed faith turn into a huge tree of pure faith. Okay, the simple formula was that knowledge plus understanding equals wisdom. Knowledge is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Understanding is to depart from evil. That's understanding. And wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the end of knowledge.
Say that again.
Okay. Knowledge is the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. The understanding piece is to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord is the end of knowledge. Okay. See, the people do not have mustard seed faith because they don't fear God. See, when you fear God, the Holy Spirit steps in and helps you to depart from evil because departing from evil means that you understand. You understand what He's saying. So you got to get out of way. You got to get away from evil so the Holy Spirit knows that once you depart from evil, you understand. Okay, let me give you an example. I was operating in the local church as a deacon of Christ, but the pastor thought I was his deacon. And when the Holy Spirit showed me that, man, there's evil going on here. You got to depart out of here. So look, okay, so he showed me how tithing was being used evil as evil. And once I understood that, I had to stop tithing and get out of there. Okay.
Yeah.
So once he showed me the evil about what they were doing and manipulating me with the money about tithing, I understood it and I got out of there. Because you got to depart from evil. That's understanding. So when the Holy Spirit knew that I understood what he said and I departed from paying tithes, listen, man, I stepped right into wisdom. So he knew that as soon as I figured out that and I understood that tithing was being used against me as evil and I departed from that, it was easy for him to pluck me up like a sycamore tree, right? So I can pluck up the tithe like a sycamore tree and put it in the sea. The sea represents somewhere where I am not. So once I did that, it was easy for the Holy Spirit to show me the rest of the evil and to depart from evil, because once I departed from evil, that means I had understanding. So it was easy for me to mature and graduate from church and not have to go to church anymore.
Yeah, that's good.
I got wisdom on it. So, look, it took, because of mustard seed faith, the Holy Spirit had me write that book, those books, Tithing You Don't Have to Pay to Give, and Graduating from Church School. See, you can't read those two books with your religious faith and think that you're going to step into mustard seed faith. It takes mustard seed faith to read them books and understand the revelation in the book. Listen, man, listen, the Holy Spirit had me write the book for you. Look, because I got it and I understood it, and he took me out of the world's way of doing things, out of tithing, out of the church, into the marketplace, so I can walk in this wisdom that the Deacon of Christ had laid out for me. But it was all because I feared God. So the fear of God is the beginning and the end of our faith.
Yes. That's good, man. That's good.
Yeah.
That's it. That, listen, you can't make it any plainer than that.
No, man.
Listen, you're talking about glowing embers, which represent faith, and dead coals, which represent fear.
Wow.
So this whole conversation that we've had today is telling you how to stop the erosion of faith.
Yes, sir.
Will resuscitate the believer whose witness might be on life support. If your faith is on life support, you got to approach God with a contrite heart and a repentant spirit. This is how you stop the erosion of faith. You got to embrace the Holy Spirit as your teacher with your mind, body, and soul. You got to open up your heart and fill it with love, peace, and joy. You can't quit the Lord under any circumstances because of some transgression by somebody you knew or know or will know. When you get to a place where you can't see your way out, and when man can't help you, that's the place God loves for you to be. And when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, man can't satisfy you anymore. That's why it's easy for a believer to walk away from the institution of church and religiosity. When you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you have peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Wow.
So you're able to turn off the world, Brother Frank. The distractions, they don't get you no more. The worship and fellowship with God becomes the restoration. And so you associate with other people that are like-minded, other believers. There's a community of believers out there who have left the traditions of men and are following the traditions of God. These people serve God's people in the marketplace. They're unselfish and they're not lazy. Okay, they're in constant contact with the Spirit of Truth. And so, in conclusion, you have to guard your eyes, which is the gateway to your soul. Be careful what you watch for entertainment. It can lead you straight to the doorsteps of hell. Finally, ask yourself as you walk through the passages of your life, ask yourself this question: is the Lord God my shepherd? And know that your answer will determine the outcome of your eternity. I'm going to take this caller, Brother Frank, because I want to hear what this brother got to say here. Welcome to Pathways to Truth Radio. It's kind of loud there. I think he hit that button by mistake. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. Now, the last thing I have is, Job said, there is a knowledge of natural things, but wisdom is the excellent gift of God. Fear is the knowledge of God. Fear is what brings you into the right relationship to line you up with your faith. in God. See, the fear of the Lord is the end of knowledge. So that's what's going to bring you the wisdom. But because people are not afraid of God, and they're not afraid of the things that they're doing, then they stay in a worldly mindset about doing things. So I was thinking about this one thing, is that think about them fake deacons of your pastor at your church today, right? You all know very well who I'm talking about. Name one that will leave your pastor and your church today for Christ's sake and go work in the marketplace and won't come back to church. That's exactly what I thought. You see, the Holy Spirit was having me to depart from evil. The money tree was robbing my family from its inheritance. That money tree is called the tithe. I had to get rid of that tree, chop down that mulberry tree, that sycamore tree, and cast it into the sea. The sea represents somewhere I am not. See, I am not in tithe, and I am not in immaturity in Christ. You got to, when you step into mustard seed faith, you, Christ's going to take you out of and depart you from all evil. So, hold thou a little faith means you take too little. Hold thou a big faith means you take a lot. You try to take everything that God has to offer you. All right, Nick, man, that's it for me.
We want to thank you once again, Pathways to Truth Nation, for joining us again on this awesome Sunday morning, for the revelation that God has given us on Mustard Seed Faith. We appreciate you so much. We love you for your just incredible growth and listenership. The Pathways to Truth Nation is exploding right now, and we are so thankful to have an opportunity to minister with you and learn from you and share with you God's truth every day. Read God's word, read it slow, seek God for yourself, and be strong, believe in yourself, and don't be afraid. Tune in next week to Pathways to Truth Radio. Peace and blessings.